Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. When you get there, just give me a good amen. One verse of Scripture, and very, very, very popular verse of Scripture. And just pray for my voice throughout this week as I'm coming down with some sort of sinus issues. And that pollen, I'll tell you, is something else, isn't it? Amen. But it tells you there should be fields out here somewhere. Ain't many, but it should be. I'm playing. But anyhow, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. When you're there, say amen. Very familiar reading. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Again, where there is no vision, the people perish. You ever heard that before? It's usually quoted when we're raising money or trying to reach a goal. I've been to many places where they're having a building program. They keep talking about having the vision. And that's all right. I know what they mean. But that's sometimes I believe that's out of context. And with the Lord's help tonight, I want to preach on there is derision where there is no vision. There is derision. That word simply means a mockery. It means a shame. It means to be let down. It means to let go. There is derision where there is no vision. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we appreciate Your presence. We appreciate opportunity. Appreciate the privilege of being in the house of God tonight. We would in the name of Jesus, You would visit Your people. You'd help us, Holy Ghost. You'd visit us. You let Your Word, Holy Ghost, find place in our hearts. We appreciate the presence of God that we felt tonight. Appreciate the anointing that was here during the singing. Lord, I trust that everybody obeyed the Lord tonight. I trust everybody worshiped You to their full potential, Lord. If they have it, that's between You and them. But tonight, with the Word of God's being preached, I would to God that You would move and touch and encourage. Lord, give us vision, Holy Ghost. Give us revelation. And in the name of Jesus, we'll give You all the glory, the honor, and the praise. We love You, Lord, and appreciate You tonight. In Jesus' holy and divine name, we love You with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name. There is derision where there is no vision. When I was meditating this week on what to preach, one of the services on this Sunday, my mind came to this verse of Scripture. And because this verse of Scripture embodied in it has a lot of why the reason I am here. You understand, I'm here today is because I have a vision. You know, just like Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. He had an aspiration. There was a reason that he was doing what he does. And me as a minister and me now as the pastor of this church, I'm here because I feel the Holy Ghost has given me a certain revelation and a certain vision for this church. And not only for this church, but for this community. We must understand, friend, that we also, as a body of Christ, that we, if there's going to be any reaching that's going to be done through the body of Christ, it's going to be through us. If there's going to be anything accomplished for His kingdom, it's going to be through us as a church, as the body of Christ. And to be honest with you, as praying over the months of coming here and dealing, man, it was just wonderful getting to know you. And I'm glad I'm here. Praise the Lord. It's been wonderful. There's nothing been like the wonderful fellowship and the joy of getting to know you better. And I know God's got many things in store for this church. I know He does. And not only for me, but for you as a congregation. And praying about coming here. You know, as an evangelist, I was praying. And one of the things that God dealt with me on was this, that in this vicinity of this area, there's very little true revelation of who God is. And I mean that. You can search around. There's many different denominations. There's many different churches down this street and road and different roads. But there's very little true revelation of who Jesus is.
There's false, maybe false teaching, things we would disagree with, or different people in different denominations. But I'm here tonight, and I'm here at this church because I feel God has given me revelation and a true message that needs to be done in this community and for this church. When we look at our text here today, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That word vision in the Bible is very important. Hear me today, because that word vision in the Hebrew means this. It means a dream. It means a revelation. It means a prophecy. It means really that where there is no prophecy, there is the people will perish. It is simply meaning that word perish there in the Hebrew has a lot of meaning as well. It means to avoid, to bear, to go back, to let down, to make naked, to set at naught, to perish, to refuse, and to uncover. That word there, when it says that where there is no vision, the people perish, there's some versions of the Bible, some we even disagree with, that sometimes has a good meaning for it. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Which means where there is no prophecy, where there is no revelation, where there is no divine and supernatural, the people will cast off restraint. They will be rebellious. They will let down. They will go back. They will not seek the will of God. They will not find what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Where there is no vision, where there is no prophecy, there will be confusion and disorder and rebellion. People, they will be uncontrolled, and they will fall into grievous excesses. Where there is no vision, hear me today. We can go a little slower, but I really want this to get across to the church. Because this is the faithful here. And I want to talk to you today about the importance of that revelation from heaven. How important it is to know what God is wanting to do. How important it is to pray and ask for the Father's will in every life, every family, in my family, your family, this church, and this community. We would understand in just about every study Bible, in just about every commentary, when you study this verse of Scripture, it cross-references to Exodus chapter 32, where the children of Israel are at the bottom of that mountain. Moses is up there getting the commandments from God. He's up there on that mountain for 40 days, if I'm not mistaken. Taken. And then we know the story down there at the foot of Mount Sinai. You have the children of Israel that come to Aaron and they're telling Aaron, we don't know where Moses is. We don't know what he's doing. Will you make a God for us? Will you create a God for us? And we know the story. Aaron did that. He took off their jewelry and he threw into that fire and there he began to mold a golden calf. And the Bible tells us, and then this is what it says in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 35, and when Moses had come down from that mountain, it says, and when Moses saw that the people were naked. It is the same word that's used in Proverbs 29 and 18 for perish. They did not have no direction. They were down there. They had nobody that could say, thus saith the word of the Lord. They had nobody that could say, this is what God wants. They had nobody that could say, this is the direction we should go. And they were looking at Aaron. Aaron did not have that prophetic gift. He did not see that burning bush as Moses did. When Moses was up there, the people cast off all restraint. And there they were made ashamed before the nations. They were made naked before their enemies. And there they had no vision. And they cast off all restraint. And the people were perishing. You tell you why the church world is in the condition it is? There's been very little revelation. There's been very few men that will get down on their knees and pray and say, God, what do you want me to say? There's not been many days missed of fasting when people would pray and seek the will of God. And people would get down with a burden and an unction from heaven. Just like the children of Israel here. They're dancing naked before a golden calf. Here they are, they've been brought out of Egypt. Here they are, there have been 10 plagues. Here it is, there's been an ocean that's been opened. God has provided different miracles. God is up there, He's thundering and lightning on the mountain. But they're dancing around a golden calf naked. They were perishing because they had no revelation and vision from God. The Bible tells us in Psalms that the children of Israel knew God's acts, but Moses knew God's ways. That meant some of them, that meant the children of Israel liked the idea of Red Seas opening. They liked the ideas of water coming from a rock. They liked the ideas of 10 plagues. They liked the idea of freedom and deliverance. But they did not know the ways of God. But Lord, would somebody rise up with Paul and say, oh, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, in the fellowship of His sufferings, in the confirmation of His death, being conformed to His death. Hear me today, friend. We need revelation. We need prophecy. And we need those, not only the pastor, but we need the church to operate in it. I'd be tickled for one of you to come to church and say, praying in the closet the other day, and God told me this. Come on now. Hey, Brother Derek, I was up early before work the other morning and got my Bible out, and the Holy Ghost showed me something new. You understand, if we're going to be unified, and if we're going to be a body in Christ, hear me, when the church loses its prophecy and revelation, that is the worst thing that can happen to a church. It'll really dehydrate the church. It'll suck the life out of it. And if we're not careful, if there's no revelation, if there's no prophetic gift, if there is no prophecy, the church becomes a social club, it becomes a fellowship meeting, and simply the church is in survival mode. Abundant life is not here to survive. Abundant life is here to make an impact for the kingdom of God. And we are. But we can do more. We can climb higher. Understand? All of us can. We can go higher. But let me caution you, the higher you go in the plane, the more the pressure there is. So when God begins to motivate in the church, when God begins to raise up young people, when God begins to refill them, when God begins to save them, and they have prophecy and revelation, and they have aspiration, and they have dream, and they have things that God's revealing in their spirit, they want to work from God, they want to sing for God, they want to play for God, we need to say, keep on, go ahead. That's alright, because where that prophetic gift is, where that life is, there's going to be fruit, there's going to be growth, there's going to be understanding, there's going to be revelation, there's going to be joy, and there's going to be growth. We need to embrace that. Does my heart good to hear what happened the other night? It means God's still moving. Now, when we look at this church, because this is critical. When we come to church, we need to learn to yield to the Holy Ghost. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit, and the Bible says seek for Him. Come on. When's the last time you've asked God for one? When is the last... I'm asking you to talk to yourself. I'm trying to talk to us from the Word. That when is the last time you asked God? God, use me in a message in tongues and interpretation. I was grieved the other night at that camp meeting. It was a message in tongues and interpretation went forth. And a little kid looked at his mommy and said, Mom, what is that? When's the last time you've seen a demon cast out? You're saying there's no demons? There's demons in this world. There's demons in this community. When's the last time they ran to the altar, screamed out, there's something here so holy, I've got to get deliverance? When's the last time we've seen miracles? I'm talking to me and talking to you from my heart. There must be vision. There must be revelation. There must be our eyesight that is beyond this world, that is beyond our jobs, that is beyond everything that we see that is temporal. And we must get a glimpse of the heavenly. Set your affections on the things above. Seek those things which are above. And let God visit His church. When you come to church, hear me. We need God to move. There may be somebody come through those doors and they need something tonight. And it's so critical. If they don't get it, they're going to fail. Or they're going to go home depressed. Or you'll tell you some of the most disturbing things that I have witnessed as a preacher. When there was a church right up the road from me, a Pentecostal church, and they had people in the church committing suicide because they could find no peace. I tell you why. You see, was it the church's fault? I believe in a form it is. Hear me today. You ain't got to be propped up on a pill to be happy in Christ. You ain't got to be propped up by the world. Look, I thank God for technology. And thank God for the medical field. And thank God for all those blessings. But I'm telling you, in Christ, in these four walls, if we learn to yield to Him, if we learn to have vision, if we learn to have that prophetic gift in our life, that we can say, I know what God wants. I know what I'm looking for. I know what I'm going to church for. God can meet with us. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Hear me today, friend, because this is so important. Understand, when there is no vision, the activity of the Holy Ghost stops. There is no message from heaven. There is no healing. There is no gifts. And there is no true fruits of holiness. When the message of prophecy stops. This is so important to us, friend, because there is a picture in the Bible, there is an example. We find in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, it was dealing in the day of Samuel when Eli was the high priest. And it said, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. There was no prophetic gift being used. You had Eli that was there in the temple, but he had no spirit of prophecy. It was not there. They had no word from the Lord. They had no direction. They did not know where they was going. And I'm going to show you what happened to them. Because I believe it's a direct parallel to what is going to happen to the church if there is no vision, if there is no prophecy, if there is no message. There is no vision. Let me tell you what happened in Eli's day. His son Hophni and Phinehas, the Bible calls them, when there was no vision, they were called the sons of Belial. They served the devil. It goes on to say, they knew not the Lord. Now you know what? When Paul said that, Lord, that I may know Him, that word means more than just head knowledge. That means relationship. You'll find in the book of Genesis, it said Adam knew Eve, and she conceived the son. It is a picture of relationship. It's more than head knowledge. It's more than quoting a chapter in the Bible. It's more than coming to church. It's more than singing a hymnal. It's more than all of that. It's more than lip service. It's coming here with the living word from God. Thus saith the word of heaven. God spoke to me. I know what God wants. I'm a part of a vision that only God has given. Where there is no vision, hear me, we begin to operate in the flesh. Imagine Jesus looking at His disciples. They're looking at 5,000 people. And Jesus says, how are we going to feed them? I just picture old Andrew there. He pulls out his calculator. Jesus, that's a lot of bread. It ain't happening. You understand here, anytime Jesus says, how many loaves have ye? And you begin to look to yourself, we begin to look to carnality, we begin to pull out our spiritual calculator, you're operating in the flesh. It took a little boy to come up to Jesus and say, look, I've got a few loaves and a few fishes. You know, I've got five hush puppies and two sardines. Is it enough? Childlike faith. If we ever get so big in the church that we overcalculate everything, we're going to fail. The book of Acts makes no sense to the carnal man. They evangelized their whole generation without a cell phone, without an internet, without a vehicle, without the nicest, not without the money, without networks, without the biggest army. But next thing you know, you'll find in the book of Acts, they are in Jerusalem. But at the end of the book of Acts, Paul is on the doorstep of Rome. He is doing things for God, and they have evangelized the known world at that time. You would tell you how? They had vision. They had prophecy. They had a word from heaven. But when we look into Eli's day and Samuel's day, it says this. It says they knew not the Lord. And not only that, they mishandled the sacrifice. They would go to the temple. They would keep part of the sacrifice for themselves. They would rob the offerers. Not only that, they committed adultery with women at the temple. And they would not repent. That all happened when there was no open vision. Let me tell you why there's so much sin in the church. There's no word from God. There's no prophecy. Sometimes I think we're misunderstood. Getting a sermon is easy. It is. But getting a word from God is different. Joel Osteen has a sermon every week. He ain't said nothing yet. I heard the other day how many hundreds of thousands come through. And if you send your money to them, hear me, call for him to pray for you when you're sick. Hear me. We got to be careful, church, how much we get wrapped up in all this so-called message and all this so-called gospel when there's nothing there. You say, Brother Derek, that's mighty plain, but I dare say he don't have vision. He may have a lot of people, but he don't have revelation. Every day is not a Friday. You can't always look in the mirror and say everything's going to be all right. Look to Christ. See His reflection. See His joy. See His life, and God will help you make it. And I'll leave the other ones alone right now. We'll get them later. Amen. But there's so many things, friend. It's easy to find a sermon. They get a website called Sermon Central. Thousands of outlines. It don't work. I mean, I'm not saying you can't be edified. I am not saying you can't use it to teach or maybe preach at times. Look, it's all right to have thoughts and ideas from people and read. Believe me, I'm a reader. I read a lot of books. I take a lot of time to sow into reading of the Bible and of different things. But hear me today, friend. It's not enough just to read. It's not enough just to have knowledge. But I've got to have a prophecy. I've got to have a word that's going to touch your heart. That's going to draw you to repentance. That's going to call you higher. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And we know that in Eli's day, there was a man that finally had a vision by the name of Samuel. Some say he was just 12 years old at this time. All of a sudden, he's laying in bed and he hears somebody call his name. He goes to Eli's bedroom. Eli says, go lay back down. Eventually, we know the story. Eli said, go lay down. And when he calls your name again, say, here I am, Lord. I hear you. The Lord called again, Samuel! He said, here I am, Lord, speak to me. Oh God, I would to somebody. Now, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Now the Spirit speaketh. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. You say, Brother Derek, I'm waiting for God to speak to me. He's already speaking. He's speaking more than we're listening. He's talking more than we're willing to open our ears. And I hear me today, friend. I encourage you, go home, get down and pray, and ask God for a word. Ask God for prophecy. Ask God for revelation. Ask God to lead abundant life into revival. That's all I know to do. That's all I know to do. Is obey the Holy Ghost. Hear me today, friend, because we know Eli. We know in Eli's day, Samuel finally had a vision. And this is what the Bible says at the end of chapter 2. And it says this, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel Shiloh by the word of the Lord. It goes on to say that God did not let His words fall to the ground. That meant if Samuel said it, that's what he meant, and God would honor it. I want God to send a revival to abundant life that's so real, that's so genuine, that when something is said from this pulpit, the Holy Ghost won't let it fall, but He'll deliver it directly to the heart. Sure, I feel that in my spirit. If we want God to send revival to this church, it's not always pretty like we expect. Sin will be revealed. Repentance will be made. There may be joy. There may be shouting. There may be an understanding. But there's going to be a revelation of who God is and what He's going to do. A pastor in Florida, a phenomenal man of God named Don Schutz, when they had revival years ago, he remembered going into the hospital. Hear me, because this is important. He remembered going into the hospital to pray with a woman from his church. She had been in and out, back and forth. He went in there to pray for her. And he said he sat down on the edge of that bed. He reached his hand out to pray for her, and the Holy Ghost instantly stopped him. He said, don't pray for her. He went to do it again, Brother Glenn. And Brother Don said, he went to pray for her again. And the Holy Ghost said, I said don't pray for her. He said, I'm going to heal her and let her out of here when I'm done talking to her. You say, will the Holy Ghost get that close? He will. And if we're going to have revival, He's going to. Now I trust it would never take tragedy, but it has in time past. But wouldn't it be something that if this community would look at Abundant Life Tabernacle and say, look, I don't understand them all. They live a higher standard than most. But there's one thing about it. Their words do not fall to the ground. When they testify, work is real. When I went and visited a church, I could feel something. When I went and saw them and began to worship with them, something tugged at my heart. That is called a moving of the Holy Ghost. That is called revelation. That is the prophecy the Holy Ghost wants in our life. Church, I hope you can feel the conviction of God on this because it's real. Hear me today, friend, because this is important. Because not only did God speak to Samuel, but it took them losing the Ark of God. It took them losing the presence of God before there ever was restoration. Hear me today, friend, because this is important. There has to be vision here. There has to be vision in this church. There has to be vision in your family. There has to be vision in my life and every life in this room. If you don't mind me saying it like this, where there is no prophecy, the church perishes. Where there is no prophecy, the church perishes. Hear me today, friend. Because there's things God is wanting to show you in this room tonight. He's wanting to show you throughout the week that I can't tell you or nobody else can tell you. Just like Peter when he looked at Jesus and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee. He was saying, you know what? Disciples, nobody told him that. But Jesus goes on to say, the flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He was saying, look, that didn't come from a Pharisee. That didn't come from a Sadducee. That came from my Father touching his heart and making him receptive to this. We need the supernatural here. If you're going to see sinners won, it's going to be because God dealt with them. If you're going to see your loved ones won, it's going to be because the Holy Ghost touched their hearts. If it's going to be, hear me today, friend, we need God to reveal this unto us. I must ask the question tonight, why are we here and where are we going? Right. And I would go further. Before you have an opinion on it, have you prayed about it? Right. Hear me. Before we begin to give our opinion, make sure you have some solution. Make sure we have some vision. Make sure we have something for God. And there we'll find common ground. There this community can be helped. There joy can come in every family. There restoration can apply only when we get vision. This is so important to us, friends. Because the Bible goes on to say, hear me. That word vision is a spoken word from God. This Bible right here, it's more than a book. This is the living Word. If you read this like you do a Janet Oak book, please don't. I'm sure she's a good author. I've never read one of her books. I'm sure she's good. I'm sorry if that's... I'm not preaching against her. Or if I read this just like any other book, there's going to be issues. But if we learn, hear me church, not to do it out of ritual, not to do it just because we feel like we have to, but every time you open this Bible, close your eyes and just maybe for 10 seconds, say, God, speak to me. Because this is what I want to bring to our attention. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If we come to church and we're not really letting God manifest in each heart like He wants to, guess who it's affecting the most? You may be saved. You may as well be the one to make it. But the ones who suffer the most is the ones that are lost. They're suffering. They're perishing. This community, these cities, this country, it is casting off restraints. Because the Bible goes on to say, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Understand, it said Satan has blinded their minds. They're waiting for a word. They're waiting for a prophecy. They're waiting for a church. They're waiting for a saint to say, I've got the answer, and it's real. They're waiting. And maybe this community is waiting for a church to rise up and say, Holy Ghost, have your way right here. Be a lot less rehab if the church would get on fire. We could probably cut the psych units in half if the church would get on fire. We could see a move of God that would change lives if we only learn to have vision and revelation and prophecy, which I believe is directly tied to the Holy Ghost. Yes. Have you received since you believed? You say, Brother Derek, you believe in getting the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues? I ain't found another way to get it. I heard there was one individual one time was seeking for the Holy Ghost for years, and wonderful person. And Brother Israel Choi, you know him, bold as a lion. He told him, the reason you ain't got it is because you think you're just as good without it. The reason you get to seek for it or desire it is because you think you're just as good without it. But I hate to bust your Bible. Bust your bubble. Hear me this, friend. That book of Acts would not have happened without it. The evangelism of the world would not happen without it. And the missionary work and everything to it is tied to the Holy Ghost. Salvation was so precious that God put it in the hands of Jesus Christ. He couldn't trust an angel. He couldn't trust a man. He couldn't trust none of them. But the testimony of this great gospel, the witness of this great gospel, is still so precious. It's not in the hands of the theology of man. It's not in the hands of a man or a woman. It's not in the hands of an angel. But it's in the hands of the Holy Ghost. And that's where God put it. And you got to get on that train to be effective. Now, I don't say that to discourage those that don't have it, because I've really never taken a poll in this church. But I would encourage, let's ask God for it. You may even say, Brother Deck, I've yet to see that in a spiritual view yet. Flesh and blood may not tell you all about it. The Father in heaven may want to sit you down and talk to you a little bit. Now, I don't mean that condemning God, because I'm just saying from my heart, if we're going to have revelation and prophecy, you can't have the gifts of the Spirit without the Spirit. And you might even find yourselves at times struggling with the fruits of the Spirit too. And even those that have the Holy Ghost, we still need them gifts. And we still, you know what, those of us that have it, let's act like it. Show some fruit. Show some gifts. We must be, are we a Pentecostal church? You can't separate Pentecost and the Holy Ghost. We need it. We need Him to visit us. We need to seek for it. We need to tell the Lord about it. Hear me today, friend. Because when we have this, it's to those that are lost. You say, well, Brother Derek, in the Bible, Apollos didn't have it. As soon as he found out about it, he got it. What's our excuse? What's our excuse? I'll go a step further. I don't believe you can fully appreciate Calvary until you do have it. When I got the Holy Ghost, Calvary looked a lot better. Just like one preacher years ago, when a young man was seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that young man looked at him, he said, is it better than what I got at salvation? And that preacher looked at him and said, it's not better. It's not better than what you got at salvation, but it'll make you appreciate what you got before better, or something like that, along those lines. He was saying, it's something that's real. Understand, friend, Pentecost is real, and we need revelation. Hear me. Because revelation is not a closed subject. You ever heard of a cessationist? They believe the gifts have quit. Well, us as Pentecostals, you know what we're called? continuous. We believe it kept on trucking. They believe it stopped at Paul and the apostles. We believe it's unto your children and your children's children. That's what it's for. Revelation is not closed. Matter of fact, Joel 2 and 28 says this, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." That means they shall have vision. It goes on to say, "They shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." That's what Joel said. He said, "It shall come to pass afterward." But we know Peter echoed that in Acts chapter 2 and 17. He said, "It shall come to pass in the last days." He didn't say afterward. He said in the last days. And we're living in the last days. That started at Pentecost. We're living in the last days. And Peter went on to say, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." I heard one man say this because they sleep more. But what Joel was saying is that there's going to be visions. There's going to be aspirations. There's going to be young people to stand up and say, "Brother Derek, I'm saved. I'm excited. Can we do this?" There's going to be adults that were saying, "Look, Brother Derek, I was praying. Let's do a rest home ministry. Brother Derek, I was praying. Let's go to the jailhouse. Brother Derek, I was praying. Let's pass out tracts. I've got a vision. I've got a prophecy from God." It's important. And the future of this church depends on it. Hear me today, friend, because this is important. Because you go on and read throughout the Bible that we must continue. Pentecost is to be perpetuated. It's not to be reenacted. You ever heard that song, "Send it on down, send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on"? That's a good song. But the Holy Ghost don't have to come down. He's here.
Amen.
That makes sense. I know you can still sing the song. Please don't feel like I'm shooting the song. My wife sings that. We like it. I went to a charismatic church years ago, not to worship really. I had curiosity rise up in me. As a young minister, I was told, "Go here, check this out." I went and checked it out. They were waving the flags. I asked them what they were doing. They said, "We're calling the Holy Ghost." I said, "My Lord, the Holy Ghost ain't a puppy you gotta call. He ain't a dog. He's came on Acts chapter 2 and he's yet to leave." But where we struggle is this: yielding to Him. Opening up our spirit. Throwing away our knowledge. And saying, "God, I want to know nothing but what You want to show me. Try it. Try it. And let God fill you. Let God strengthen." And those who have it, let God refill you. Hear me today, friend. Because we must understand, we need vision. We need revelation. We need God to visit us. Sometimes we get so caught up in Christianity and looking at small things, we miss the whole picture. Rabbi Zacharias said years ago, the very first time he was from a foreign country, he said they were poor. He said he went into a theater one time for the first time. And back then they had one of those projectors on the back wall that would sit there and spin that reel, and it would play that. He said he got so excited about seeing that sparkly light coming off the back wall. He said he kept staring at it. He kept staring at it. He kept looking at it, and finally somebody tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Look this way." And he said when he turned around, he saw there was a big picture on the wall, and he got even more excited. Hear me, friends. Don't let your vision get so near that you miss the full picture. Don't you get so caught up on, "I'm saved and glory to God." That's wonderful! But sometimes we're still gazing at a cross when we need to be looking forward to Pentecost. Sometimes we're still looking at this and getting excited. Look, this and that. But understand, we need to see the full picture of what God wants. We need it. Revelation is life-changing. I'll just fill in my spirit tonight. We're going to give an altar call here in a minute as my wife comes to the piano. That God just put in my spirit this message earlier this week. I don't know who for, but hear me. Everybody in this room, including myself, God wants to take you higher But He wants to reveal some things to you that only He can show you. Only He can show you. The power of revelation is something that's so powerful. I read this story and it challenged my life. This woman by the name of Helen Keller, who's ever heard of her? She was blind. She was deaf. She lived in a completely dark world. And guess what? She perished. She cast off restraint. She would just go and reach on your plate. She would mumble from room to room. She was living in darkness. She said a quote one time that changed. It just stirred my heart. She said, before I ever knew who God was, I knew He existed. She said, the hardest way to explain it, she said, in my dark world, I knew there was a God. She said, I just didn't know His name. She said, in complete silence and darkness, I feared something. I reverenced something. I would moan and cry out to something. And we know the story of Helen Keller. On April 5th, 1887, less than a month after her arrival, after the woman Sullivan that came there, she sought to teach her to learn words. It was hopeless. She would take her hand and would try to explain words to her through sign language. But how do you teach somebody who can't see and can't hear? Same question comes up spiritually today. How do you help a church and how do you go forward and learn if people can't see and can't hear? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. How do you seek something if you don't know what you're looking for? Lest he be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. How can you see something if you don't know what it looks like? But what happened to Helen Keller is that Ann Sullivan took Helen to a water pump outside of her and put Helen's hand underneath the spout. As the cool water gushed over one hand, she spelled in her hand the one word, water. First slowly, then rapidly. Suddenly the signals had meaning in Helen's mind. She knew that the water meant the wonderful cool substance flowing over her hand. Understand this. Quickly she stopped and touched the earth and demanded the letter by name. And by nightfall, Helen Keller had learned 30 words. Let me tell you how it all happened. Revelation. Somehow, Ann Sullivan revelated to her in her hand, this is what this is. And finally, Helen Keller said, that's what it is. And spelled it back to her. Let me tell you what it's going to take for the church. Me, you, and abundant life. It's going to take the Holy Ghost giving you revelation. And you looking back at God and say, God, that's what it is. That ain't a man-made thing. This is God. That is what the Holy Ghost is. That is the fullness of the Spirit. That is the triumph of the Holy Ghost in my life. That's what it is, God. You showed it to me. But you've got to be willing. And you've got to be humble enough to let God take you by the hand and lead you into the depths of His Word and teach you everything He wants to teach us as a body in Christ. Amen. Stand to your feet today.